Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. So glad to have you along today. If you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Jeff Kinley. You're going to have to go back when it works for you to listen to the podcast. He wrote a great book, As It Was in the Days of Noah. We're just talking about the times, discerning the times, really knowing what to do and how to stand. This hour, I asked him to stay on. I've got a few more questions for him, but we're also going to hear clips from Jeremy Camp, Matt Gilman, Warren Barfield, Andrew Peterson, and possibly Sarah Groves, talking about how God makes a way for us. And, you know, Jeff, first of all, thanks for sticking around for a little bit more time here. Appreciate that. Yeah. When you think about even that song, you know, greater's the one living inside of me than he who's in the world. And God is the one who makes a way for us. Talk about just the idea, because I've, you know, you hear critics and atheists who talk about the story of Noah to say a God that would wipe out humanity is so cruel. But truly, that story of what God did there was for humanity. So talk about how God made a way for us even back then.
Well, when Noah was called by God to do to build this ark in the midst of a coming flood, he had 120 years to do it, obviously. Noah had a lot of time to think about his decision. What we many times don't realize is not only the great depravity of mankind and how man is continuing to become more and more depraved, but also the great holiness of God. And many times in the flood story, we focus in on just the fact that God destroyed the world, but we don't realize that behind that was a heart of a righteous God. And God was obligated to do something about humanity. I think the fact that he waited as long as he did is just testament to his grace. And yet he didn't wipe out humanity completely. He saved a lineage. He saved a remnant. And I think that speaks of his grace. And so God said, we'll just start this thing over and give humanity another chance. And here we are, perhaps near the end of human history, and looking at our world and looking around us saying, wow, God sure is good to allow us to continue as long as we have. So I think there's great hope for us in knowing that we could be a part of a very exciting generation that could witness something that God could be doing in the end times.
So what should we be looking for in this day? Of course, we talked first hour about cultivating intimacy with God. Remember that he is who he says he is, discerning his word and guarding our hearts and trying to just do our best to keep perspective that we're alive and breathing for such a time. But when you know, scripture calls us to discern the times. What should we be looking for? How should we stand in a day where it looks like we are on a slippery slope?
Yeah. I think one thing is that when you come down to just specific prophetic signs, I think the biggest sign that we are in the process of still seeing fulfilled is Israel returning to the land. And out of Ezekiel 37, God says that he will bring Israel back to the land. In order for the Antichrist to be able to make peace with the Jews, they're going to have to be in the land to do that. And so we're seeing that actually happening before our very eyes. So that's really the big biblical sign. But as far as looking around at sort of the temperament of the age, we have to do that comparison between Noah's day and the end times and look at our times. And I think what we see there are the four main things of just godlessness, violence, immorality, and apostasy. As we look around us, I think we're going to see as believers more, the flood waters are going to continue to seep in all these areas. And that's not to say that we can't do good things, but I think that's what we're going to see happen in a lost culture. But here's the good news. The good news is, as Noah continued to build his ark, as the storm clouds began to gather around him, as he perhaps even heard rumblings underneath his feet of these underground geysers, who knows? But the thing that Noah did was he knew that there was an ark that was there to offer to people. And we have that same ark in Jesus Christ. We don't point people to a wooden ark, but to a wooden cross, mm-hmm. Where Christ took their sin. And so that's the hope that we have. And the ark saved every single person that chose to get on it. And so we have the confidence in telling people by the authority of God's word, if you will just cast yourself on Christ and fall at his feet and worship him and give your heart to him, then he will save you. Regardless of what happens in this world, you will be safe and safe from the coming storm.
And boy, what a time. You told the first hour about how you came to Christ, that you met, you were a teenager and you weren't raised in a Christian home, but you met a kid that just exuded joy and hope, and he just was a great guy all around, and you befriended him, and he led you to Christ. He led you all the way to the point to ask you, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? And he's still your friend today. When you think about the day that we're in, how tempting it would be to embrace hunker down theology, like cover my head and hang on in hopes it ends soon. But there's something so powerful about simply sharing our faith and our story and listening to other people's story. Maybe just issue that call, because it is tempting to cover our heads. It's so scary when you look at what's happening in the news, but we're not called to a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So make the case for that.
Well, I'd say two things. First of all, when Jesus prayed in John 17, and we believe he was still in the upper room where the disciples could hear this, when he was praying before the Father, he asked the Lord not to take his disciples out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one. And then he says, I sanctify them with my word. And then he followed it up by saying, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And so every believer needs to understand that we are under a divine calling to go into the world, to be that light, to be that irresistible influence that Christ calls us to be. And so as we go into the world, I mean, think about if there were no Christians in the world. And that's what's going to be like. You know, when Christians leave the world and God removes that restraining influence, Susie, what's going to happen is the floodgates are going to open. And so right now we have a unique opportunity to tell our story. And I think what some people don't realize is that your story is important. You don't have to have a dramatic testimony, or you don't have to be in the mafia or to be a drug dealer and that kind of thing and come to Christ. Just be who you are. There are so many people who can identify with your story as a housewife, as a businessman, as a teenager, whoever you are. Just your story and your journey, people can identify with that. So it's important for us to be able to tell that to people, and not in a presentation way, just in a matter-of-fact way, like you would talk about anything else in your life. And I think that comes through as believers engage other people in relationships. And that becomes a powerful bond and tool and platform through which to share the story God's given you.
And you make that other great point, too, about the restraining influence of just our presence here. You write about that in your book, As It Was in the Days of Noah. And some have more of a restraining influence than others, because maybe they're aware. We're aware of what we possess in Christ. And so the question begs to be asked, what evil doesn't happen because you're alive in this world? Because really, I just feel so motivated and inspired for us as believers to be praying about the issues of human trafficking, poverty, about ISIS. You know, there's so many things that if we were to pray, bend our knees and call on God in heaven, we would be more of a restraining influence even than we are now, don't you think?
Absolutely. Wars aren't won by building fortresses. Wars are won by making advances into the enemy's territory. And that's why Jesus said, my church will advance on the gates of hell. They won't prevail against it. I think it's very important for believers to understand that we have to have an active role in things. And, you know, some people are called to certain issues, to take, you know, up certain causes, to be excited and enthusiastic and passionate about that. And that's all good. But even with those great causes, in the end, it's got to be the gospel. It must be the message of Christ and Him crucified. No matter what path we choose, that's the message that we take to the world.
Just a couple more questions for you, Jeff. But one thing that just haunts me so much is where the passage, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, but it talks about that our work will be going through the flames, and some will be, you know, almost like barely saved. They're saved by grace, but they get through the flames with nothing to show for it. And I'm just so burdened for carnal Christians, for those who are living on the fringes. When you think of the times that we're in and how things are going to heat up, and as we talked about last hour, you said really there's nothing in Scripture that proves that there will be another awakening and revival in the latter days. It could happen, but it's just not, you know, if we don't have a great awakening and we've got people blending already in with the world, I mean, what's the ripple effect of that?
Well, I think that when people talk about revival, they have different kind of concepts and constructs in their minds about what they think that might look like. But as I mentioned before, I believe God is in the process of purifying his bride. And for the individual believer right now in his or her life, and it even says in 1 Corinthians 3 that every man's work will become evident on the day that Christ judges our works. It's called the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. That it's important for us to take ownership of our individual faith and just to realize the fact that I'm going to stand before God one day. I want to be able to present to him my crowns. I want to be able to give him a lot of worship. I want him to know that he was so worthy. I thought he was so worthy that I dedicated my entire life to him while I was on planet Earth. That's the chance that I get right now to do that. So that's why we can't waste any time. You know, when you get to my age, you start thinking about mortality and how much longer you're going to live. But guess what? None of us know how long we're going to live. Mm-hmm. None of us know how long Christ is going to delay before he returns for his bride. And so there is a sense of urgency, not panic, but a sense of urgency and purpose to our lives to make sure that we are doing about the Lord's work, because we know, as Paul wrote later in that same epistle, that we know that whatever we do for the Lord is never in vain, that it all counts for him if we do it with the right heart.
Well, Jeff Kinley, it's always just an honor to have you with us, and I pray you'll come back again soon. But thank you for staying on to answer our extra questions. Appreciate your book and your heart so very much. Thanks for joining us.
Susie, thank you so much. Anytime. God bless.
God bless you, brother. So we're going to be hearing clips from Jeremy Camp, from Matt Gilman, and other artists. And I want to hear from you. How is God moving in your life? What is he speaking to you today about? What does obedience look like? Chime into the conversation. We've got some great resources to give away. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We serve a God who makes a way where it seems there is no way. He is with us. He is for us. I want to hear, what's he saying to you these days? 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
God has made a way for me by giving me what he wants me to have instead of what I want to have.
We can stay close to the one who knows. We can trust her, God. He knows what he's doing. Though it might hurt now, we won't be ruined. It might seem there's an ocean in between, but he's holding on to you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I love that song, He is With Us. We can trust Him. We won't be ruined. It sometimes feels like our lives are turned right upside down. But He's with us, and He's with us always. I don't know what circumstance you find yourself in that maybe leaves your soul unsettled. But God is with you. He loves you, and His promises are true for you. So we're going to spend the remainder of this hour talking about the God who makes a way for us. And we love to have artists on Live the Promise, and Jeremy Camp is one of those favorites. We're going to hear a clip from him where he learned firsthand how God makes a way in our sorrows. And he shared his heart and his experience of walking by faith after losing his first wife, Melissa, to cancer. And in that grieving process and after her death, he picked up his guitar and he wrote the song, I Still Believe. He did not want to write that song. The Lord just said, pick up your guitar and worship me. And he's like, I don't want to. I don't want to. And God just nudged him more, and he did pick up his guitar. And the song that he sang is such an anthem for all of us who walk through the valley of the shadow. So let's hear this clip from Jeremy Camp.
Finally, eventually, we got home, and it was a little scary because we were going to the doctors, and they did some tests on her, and the doctor pulled me aside and just said, hey, the cancer's returned and it's spreading rapidly. And I said, okay, well, what do we do next? And he goes, well, there's nothing else we can do. And I remember just going, like, just, you know, the whole blood rushes out of your face, and you're kind of like, wait, what? He goes, yeah, she really only has weeks to months to live.
Mm.
And I'm like, this is a complete shock, to be quite honest. I mean, yeah, you think you're prepared because you know that, you know, at that time you don't know what's going to happen. But I remember just walking in and she saw I was weeping, and she didn't even ask me, what'd he say? And we drove home and we began just battling and praying, and you know, we did everything. I mean, we tried all the, every holistic thing, every, you know, we had every pastor we knew and friend come and anoint her and lay hands on her and just pray for healing. I really believed that she was going to be healed. I remember just being like, I know it, you know, and the promises that she was going to be healed, and we're all just standing on that. I remember being in the hospital the day that she went to be with the Lord, and I remember just going, all right, Lord, she's not responding anymore. I need a miracle here. Mm. Like, please. And I remember my friend coming and saying, hey, it's about time. And I got into the room, and I remember just sitting there, her sister saying, she's with Jesus now.
Mm.
And I fell down on the ground just weeping. And I remember just being curled up in a fetal position. And sorry, this is a little bit tough.
Yeah.
And just going, God, this is not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I remember him just saying, speaking of my heart, and saying, Jeremy, I want you to stand up and worship me.
Oh, my.
That was the last thing I wanted to hear.
Mm.
And I remember just, of course, arguing and saying, no, I don't want to do that right now. And I remember just saying, out of obedience, I want you to do this. And I remember standing up, and my dad had to help me up, and we all were in that room raising our hands to the Lord, and it wasn't easy, but I remember just never felt the presence of God so thick in that room than I have ever. And to say, you know what, no matter what, I'm worthy to be praised. And oh my goodness, it's not what you want to hear at the time. It's not what, but you just realize that he is God.
Mm.
And that he's in control, and that he's in our midst, in the midst of the hardest time. He was saying, I am right here. I'm ushering her into the kingdom, and I love you, and I'm here with you guys as well. And it was just this moment of, I can't even describe. And, you know, that was the start of the battle of like, okay, I've known all these things, and I've seen all your you know, your hand on my life, and you come through and be faithful. And I've just seen that. And now it's my turn to really go, all right, Lord, I know these things in my head. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. Okay, I know those things, you know, and I know that you're in control. And so and I know you're near to the brokenhearted. And so it's all those things I had to go, please help it go to my heart, because I don't feel it right now.
And maybe you don't feel it right now. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking about how God makes a way. In this segment, we're really considering that God makes a way through our sorrows, through our suffering, through our heartbreak and our disappointment. And when Jeremy got home, he was just in another really broken place. And again, the Lord just spoke to him, I want you to set up and worship and write a song. And he didn't want to, but then he did, and he obeyed, and he wrote this song, I Still Believe. And I'm just wondering, whatever it is you're going through, if you can listen, maybe you even know the words, you can sing along, because there is something, I don't know what, but there's something so powerful about your own ears hearing your own mouth declare, I believe in you, God. I don't get this. I hate this. This hurts so bad. But I still believe in you and that you are good. You're going to come through for me. You will make a way for me. I pray that this song by Jeremy Camp will nourish your soul. Listen in.
Scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel you graceful like rain. From every fingertip washing away my pain. 'Cause I still believe despair. Or even when answers slowly unwind, it's my heart I see you creeping. But it's now that I feel your grace fall like rain from every fingertip, washing.
Powerful song by Jeremy Camp. We're talking, spending this rest of the hour of Blue the Promise talking about the God who makes a way for us. It's so hard to say, I believe, when it just doesn't feel true, but you know it is true. And so I challenge you to just really declare that in the midst of your circumstances. Say it out loud. Lord, I still believe. In fact, say what the psalmist, Psalm 27 says, I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Can you say that? I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Declare that one. I love that one. That was a lifeline for me. When we come back, we're going to talk about how God makes a way for us into the inner courts of the Most High God. He makes a way in salvation. A clip from Matt Gilman is coming up next. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
God has made a way for me in just the career that I have. All the doors that were closed, all the windows that were open that led me down the path to the career I'm in right now. It's just amazing to see His hand work.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, Hour 2. First hour, we talked with Jeff Kinley, wrote a great book, As It Was in the Days of Noah, and how do we stand in these days? This hour, we're talking about the God who makes a way for us. And when you think that Jesus, His death and resurrection, made a way for us to enter the most holy place, it's amazing we don't access it more. You know, we are heirs of Christ. joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God. And so we have access. We don't have to get in line or take a number or know someone who knows someone. We know Jesus. And because of that, we have instant access to the Lord. We can enter the inner courts of God, as Scripture says, and be assured of God's glad welcome. And I think we and I do this too, we lose perspective, we battle discouragement when we forget who we are and whose we are. And so we need reminders time and time again. I'm a child of God. I'm someone he loves. He's given me his very great and precious promises so that I can participate in the divine nature. And you've heard it said before, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. But anything to keep you from remembering who you are and whose you are. And Jeff Kinley, as I said, I had him on just first hour. He writes this in his book. He says, strong faith is forged through walking with God, through the routine highs and lows of life. It's acquired by depending on him in the seemingly insignificant issues we encounter each day. It's nurtured and grown through incremental risks taken for him. Big faith almost always requires making tough choices. It involves recognizing that this world is not our home. Faith in the now looks beyond the now. Hear that again. Faith in the now looks beyond the now. Genuine trust in God is a gut check, demonstrating what you actually believe is real, true, and most valuable in life. I want you to think about this for a minute. When you have faith beyond the now in a God you cannot see, but who's so faithful to you, and it starts to get into your soul and impact how you pray and how you live and how you give and how you walk and how you treat people, you're going to be someone other people look at and go, man, in this world of chaos, they know something I don't know. Because you've been with Jesus, and they're going to be so drawn to you, and you're going to have an opportunity to share the hope of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? Well, we get books and CDs sent to the station all the time. We have hundreds. I'm telling you, Grace and I, between us, we've got stacks and stacks on our desk. Well, I received a CD that I didn't recognize the name, but I grabbed it on my way out the door to go speak at a retreat. My hubby and I put this in our CD player because we had like a 10-hour drive, and we literally had our hands in the air. By the end, it was so powerful. This Matt Gilman song, he is also going to give a little backstory on the song, but it's You Made a Way. Man, if you're driving right now, I want you to think about who you are, whose you are, and the fact that you have access to the star-breathing God, and he's so glad to hear from you. He's so glad to be with you. He wants to know what's on your heart. And you know what else? I want to know what's on your heart. So if there's a way that I can stand with you, if you can tell me what you're battling right now, we can pray together. I hope I can encourage you. And what's really great is other listeners may call in and have a word for you as well. So you can call anonymously if you need to. I'm going to open the phone lines and we're going to play the song. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. What are you battling right now? How are you trying to stand? I want to stand with you. 877-933-2484. 2484. Let's listen to Matt Gilman and talk about this song, and you're going to be blown away by this song. Here it is.
I was just in one of those places where I just was really in tune with how weak and broken I am as a human being. I think we all have seasons like that in our lives where we just come face to face with our weakness. But I remember reading, I was reading through the Bible one day, and I mentioned a couple moments ago too, but Hebrews 10, where it talks about that he made for us a new and living way through the veil of his flesh so that we can come boldly before his throne of grace. And I was just struck with the reality of the cross and what Jesus did for us. And when I was a sinner, when I was an enemy, when I was like that prodigal son running as far away from him as I possibly could, he still said, no, you're mine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do whatever it takes, whatever I can to win you back with love. And that's where it just comes in, the whole incarnation and Jesus actually stepping down from his Father's throne, from his Father's glory, taking on flesh, coming as a baby, born in a manger. That's where the song was just inspired. And again, just the hope of eternity. I am yours, you are mine. We're going to live forever together in that holy city. And that's kind of the inspiration behind the song and just the beauty and the wonder and the majesty of Jesus on the cross.
The crimson stain upon your robe,
with every nail, with every pounding blow. By every stripe and every bruise upon your back, I can hear you crying out. You say, Father, I desire that they would be, that they would be with me to see my glory. You took all my shame and my iniquity for the sake of freedom. You set me free.
I will see him when he comes. You know what? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is the Lamb, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some are going to bow voluntarily, others involuntarily, but everybody will declare Jesus is who he says he is. He's coming, and nothing matters more than living in rhythm with him and step with him for his glory. His will for you is your best case scenario. I'm Susie. This is Live the Promise. And this hour, the second hour, we're just talking about how God makes a way. Jesus made a way that we could get into the inner court of God anytime, day or night, and receive help and be assured of God's glad welcome. Imagine that. He's so glad to see you, and he wants you to turn towards him. I also asked to give me a call if I can stand with you in any way. I know life is a battle. I know it. And so give me a call, 877-933-2484. Got an anonymous caller calling in who needs prayer. Welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks so much. I love that song, Who You Are and Whose You Are. That's beautiful. Mm. You know, I rarely call in for prayer, but even though I'm an intercessor, I feel so frozen. You know, I've got to basically start my financial picture completely over. I'm a boomer. And just due to struggles and the economy, I mean, I lost almost everything. And I'm just feeling frozen.
Yeah.
You know, where to look, I would love to find some kind of recruiter that would work with me. I've got great skills, great resume, but I'm stuck.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray. And I want to just ask you, if you're not comfortable with this, but I know for me, when I use that word, when I feel frozen and kind of stuck, for me, the word is always surrender. So there's something for me that I'm white knuckling. And are you willing to just pray, just start and pray, just lay down whatever it is, if you are white knuckling something, and then I'll just pray for you. Are you comfortable with that?
I am.
Okay, so you go first.
Well, Lord, I thank you so much that you know my situation financially, and I own two properties, and it's impossible to keep them both up. I'm willing to let one of them go to sell it, but Father, I do not believe in my heart that that's what you're saying to do. Mm-hmm. But I am willing. I'm willing to relocate. I'm willing to springboard more the ministry you've put in my heart. But Father, I just need direction, clear, focused direction, and I do lay that down. I lay it down completely. Thy will be done, and that would be my joy to do your will, Father.
Father, I thank you for this dear sister of mine, that she loves you and she's living a surrendered life. She's opening her hand. She's putting it on the table. And I pray, God, that peace would come like a river, that you would fan the flame within her. And I just know what it's like to feel stuck, to feel frozen. I pray that she would feel a passion so strong that her cheeks would feel flush and that she would get excited to know that you are ever present. You are with her in this. And Lord, I just pray for a heart of rest too, that she can rest and you will give her the next step. Your word is a lamp unto her feet and a light to her path, and there's nothing for her to worry about because you hold every detail in your care. And so I just pray she tucks herself in the shadow of your wing. You will show her the way that she should go and that you are aware of every detail of her life and you delight in her. Thank you for her precious heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Well,
I just agree. And that's exactly the scripture I had this morning. So that is just beautiful. Thank you so much for prayer. And I just totally appreciate that.
Well, God bless you, dear sister, for calling in. When we come back, we're going to hear clips from Warren Barfield, Andrew Peterson, Sarah Groves, if we can fit all those in. Maybe not. I don't know. Producer says no, but I say yes. I think we can do it. I want to hear from you, too. 877-933-2484. I'll be right back.
God has blessed me in the marriage with my husband because he put him in my path long ago, and we'll be married 34 years next year.
Yes, he has. He's overcome the world. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really had just a powerful time. We got a little bit of time left. I want to try to squeeze in these three clips if I can. We're spending the second hour talking about that God makes a way. And this dear listener said that God blessed her with a great husband. But if you've been married any length of time and you're honest, you can say, yep, that also involves some hard times where you feel like, are we going to make it? Well, I had Warren Barfield on a while back, and he wrote a song that was featured in the movie Fireproof. And he tells the story behind the song about his own marriage issues and just how really a firm decision that he made to stand and to hang in there. I want you to hear what Warren has to say and hear the song that came as a result.
I wrote Love Is Not a Fight after a fight with my wife. My wife and I had been married at that time. We were coming up on 6 years of marriage, and the Bible says that love does not keep a record of wrongs, and I believe it says that because if love keeps a record of wrong, it will not remain love. It will destroy itself. And my wife and I had done a good job of keeping a detailed record of each other's wrongs in the first 6 years of our marriage, and one night, a fight broke out over something very small and insignificant, but the record of wrongs came into play, and the fight grew to the point to where we were screaming at each other that we wanted out of our marriage. And we said we were leaving each other. We didn't leave. We kept fighting. I think we were both too arrogant to walk away. We had to. We were still fighting. We wanted to win, you know. We wanted to win the fight. But I believe, again, as God works all things together for the good for us, I believe that God used our arrogance to keep us there. Because eventually the fight ended, and we sat down together and we said, you know, well, what now? Mm. You know, how are we supposed to live together another day after all the hurtful things that have just been said? And we decided that we were going to try to make it work, and we said it this way. Let's try to fight for each other as hard as we just fought against each other.
Excellent.
And so we begin to do that through counseling, through communicating on a different level, through trying to make a conscious effort of not keeping records of each other's wrongs, reading a lot of books on marriage and together and speaking with a lot of counselors. The Bible says there's health and wisdom in a multitude of counsel, and we sought a multitude of counsel because we needed health and wisdom. And I wrote that song through that process of healing. I wrote that song. I sang it to my wife on our six-year wedding anniversary. And it was just for her. It was. I never intended to record the song. Never intended to have to share that personal story with anyone. It was just for me to tell her, I am working through this. I am being very conscious of what it means to fight for you, and these are the ways that I'm going to fight for you and how I feel about it. Later, I played it for a friend of mine who was going through a separation, and it encouraged him. And so he is the one that encouraged me to record it. My record label was owned by Sony. And Sony is the company who owns Sherwood Pictures, who produces those movies. They heard the song, and they called me and asked me could they use it. And I literally told them they had to ask my wife because it was her song.
Oh, what a man, Warren.
They asked her, and she said they could use it, and they put it on the movie.
Love is not a place to come and go as we please. It's the house we enter in, then commit to never leave. So lock the door behind you, throw away the key. Work it out together, let it bring us to our knees. Shelter in a raging storm. Love is peace in the middle of a war. And if we try to leave, may God send angels to guard the door. No, love is not a fight, but it's something worth fighting. Some love is a word that they can fall into, but when they're falling out, keeping that word is hard to do. Love is a shelter in a raging storm.
In the middle of a war, and if we try.
you for honoring your wife and honoring God by sitting down to write that song.
Thanks for saying that. It was cool to listen back to it again. Yeah. As I'm sitting here looking out the window, just remembering, you know, how what those times were like. And God has been faithful in our marriage. We have two children now, and I hear that song, and I just think, man, if I had left that night, as I said I was going to, if I had looked at my wife and said, you are not worth fighting for, my son Montgomery would not be here, and my daughter Ada Beth would not exist. I hear that song back, and I'm just so thankful that God gave us the strength to fight that fight and to bring us to the victories on the other side of our battles.
It just chokes me up, you know, and it goes back to how we started the conversation in the beginning of the show, Warren, about not to underestimate the power of one. You are just a guy who loved God and wanted to honor him and honor your wife, and you wrote the song. Are you just blown away by what God has done with that song?
Absolutely. I mean, Fireproof turned out to be a huge movie, and, you know, I was very nervous about the song going out there because I knew someone was going to say, how did you write it?
Yeah.
and I was going to have to tell them. My wife and I have always said that we believe if you confess your sin one to another that you will be healed, as the word promises. And we said, hey, this is a chance for us to confess. This is a chance for us to confess that there was sin in our relationship. We were not trusting in the Lord. We were not obeying his word. And because we were doing that, because we were keeping a record of wrongs, because we were being very prideful in our relationship got sick. Our marriage got sick. Mm-hmm. Not only can my wife and I be healed because of our confessing, but the people who listen and hear they can be healed as well because of our ability, our willingness to confess it.
I think it's very possible that you're listening today and that story from Warren just ambushed your heart. Maybe you've been keeping a record of wrongs against your spouse, maybe a loved one, or maybe you're just rehashing your losses to the point where your disappointment is downright destructive. This passage from Psalm 106, 24, 25 says this: the people refused to enter the pleasant land, for they wouldn't believe God's promise to love and care for them. So they grumbled in their tents and refused to obey the Lord. They didn't enter the promise that God had for them because they refused to believe he had a promise for them. Maybe that's what's keeping you from the promised land, is you refuse to actually believe that there is a promise over your life. I challenge you to quit rehashing your losses and keeping account of wrongs, and bend your knee and open your hand and see what God will do. I mean, he will do above and beyond all you could ever dare to ask or think. Father, I thank you for my friend listening today. In fact, I pray for Anne, someone who's battling cancer. I pray, God, you'd heal her, restore the years the enemy has taken. I pray for this caller who's got 10 grandchildren, none of who know Christ. Oh, Lord, raise up laborers to lead these precious kids to know you. And for the person listening who's been in that ditch of destructive disappointment, I pray you'd soften their heart, help them to let these things go so that they can find a new grace to stand strong, to walk into the promises you have. Thank you, God, for access to your presence. Thank you for the promise that you will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's who you are. That's what you do. We love you. Help us to walk in a manner worthy of your name. Amen.
Remember when your hope is lost and faith is shaken. Remember when you wonder if you're gone.
So glad you tuned in today. I hope you found some encouragement here today. If you did, share the podcast with a friend by a click of a button. You can send it out by Facebook, email, Twitter. I'll meet you back here tomorrow. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.